I think we are incredibly privileged living here in this part of Brisbane. Because, yes, it's interesting in my mind because we're very aware of our cultural diversity. But despite the obvious differences, there are many things we and the people of this community, we all share in common. And I'd like to suggest to you of all the potential things that we share in the midst of our cultural diversity, of all the things that we could share commonly, number one is food. I mean, I've said it before, people say, oh, how come you're living over there? I said, for the food. I mean, all of us, regardless of your culture, and I try to, I realised the screens are so small. I'm looking forward to a big screen where I can fill it up with photos because the screens just aren't big enough to communicate the cultural food preferences that exist in this room right now. So you've just got to imagine with me that if you wanted to celebrate, what food would you have there? I mean, do we want to play the game for a second? Chocolate cake? Roast lamb? Dumplings, yeah, yes, of course. Come on. Some curry, yes. I thought I got some roddy there. Anything else?
Golden syrup dumplings.
Oh, good. Golden syrup, yeah. See, there are dumplings all around the world. They just look different. Fried rice, sushi, yes, yeah, potatoes, lasagna, yes, come on. Now, come on, I want you to be starving right now and just your mouth salivating and thinking, good grief, all I want to do is go out and eat something.
Korean barbecue.
Korean barbecue, whatever happened to hot pot? Come on, hot pot, or some chili beef dumplings, noodle soup. Come on. Oh, we had something. Someone introduced me to it the other day. And what was it called? Was it three pot chicken? Three cup chicken. Yes, that's right. We had some three cup chicken. I hadn't had that before. Add that to the list. That's pretty good. If you haven't had three cup chicken, those of you who know what I'm talking about, you're all going, yeah, yeah, yeah. See, it's interesting. Regardless of our cultural diversity, we all enjoy food. And we use food as this amazing opportunity to be together, to celebrate, to sit as equals around a table and just do life together. And it's a great act. Eating food is a great act of welcoming. If you want someone to feel, hey, I want to get to know you, you sit down and eat food together. You celebrate life over food. Well, it's kind of interesting because We are exploring what the Bible calls the kingdom of God. And George Eldon Ladd, he's a biblical theologian as opposed to a systematic theologian, and you can talk to me about that afterwards. But George Eldon Ladd, he put it this way. The kingdom of God is the dynamic rule of God active in Jesus. The present realm of blessing into which people enter who receive Jesus word. And that's exactly what we've been seeing. Every time Jesus spoke to the crowds, healed the sick, delivered the oppressed, forgave sinners, and yes, raised the dead to life, people were experiencing the kingdom of God seeping into their existence and touching their lives. The kingdom of God for them had come near as a present reality, as a gift to be received and enjoyed. Jesus put it this way, "Do not be afraid," as he spoke to his disciples. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." That's who God is. Someone who is pleased to give you the kingdom. And it strikes me as interesting as you read through the Gospels, the picture that is often painted for us is that the kingdom of God is something to be celebrated, a banquet to which we have been invited. Time, think about it, time and time again, we see Jesus sitting down with people, enjoying a meal together. Indeed, throughout the Old Testament, many of the ancient Jewish prophets saw the coming age of blessing when the salvation of God would break into the world in terms of a celebration banquet. Let me read one for you from Isaiah 25. It's really significant portion of Scripture. Isaiah 25, verse 6. On this mountain, speaking of Zion, Mount Zion, on this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud, the grave clothes, the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord, we trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. And indeed, as you walk through the Gospels, that's exactly what we see playing out in Jesus. This celebration of the coming of the salvation of God, of the presence of the kingdom of God, the joy and the delight that we all were expressing just a few moments ago as we thought about the notion of a great banquet of food. That's the coming of the kingdom of God. That's what we see in Jesus. And so this morning, I want to continue exploring this idea of the kingdom of God by looking at one of the meals Jesus had with a person called Zacchaeus, Luke 19, if you have your Bibles. Let me read for you, Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. It's interesting because Luke highlights the fact that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Jesus now had been for some time traveling around this region in Israel, ancient Israel, and he'd been preaching the message, the good news of the kingdom of God. He had been healing the sick. He had been delivering the demonized. He had raised the dead. He had proclaimed forgiveness. He had declared this is the nature, the character of the kingdom of God. He was showing people Jesus. And indeed, in the ministry of Jesus, the kingdom of God was seeping into people's lives. I've used this word seeping this morning because I kind of like the image of it. You know how you put some liquid into a container thinking the container will hold it, and so you put it into a safe place in your car so you can transport it, and when you get there you discover that the liquid has come out of the container and into everything that was around it. I can remember having when our kids were young, like babies. We have four children, and I can remember when our children were young, and you know, you'd carry bottles of milk and food, and invariably the bottles would leak and the milk would seep. It would come out and start to spread into all the stuff in the car. It's a great word, and it's such a picture of what's going on in the ministry of Jesus. People were being impacted. The news of Jesus is spreading. Yes, this is something we need to think about. The kingdom of God, wherever it goes, impacts people's lives. God wants to impact our lives. And indeed, it's something to be observed. People were observing the advancing of the kingdom of God. And the more it spreads, the more people want to know what is going on. And the more they want to be part of it. As we saw last week, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The smallest of seeds that is literally growing into this large tree before the eyes of these people in the first century. Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. He's been hearing about the kingdom of God. He wants to see it for himself. He wants to be part of it. Verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He, Jesus, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Jesus says to Zacchaeus, "Come down." It's not like this tree was just a tree of sticks. This was a leafy tree. Zacchaeus, this small man, is up hiding in the tree. He's camouflaged. He's hidden. And I just love the way the Gospels record it. Jesus walks along, comes to the tree, he stops, he looks up, and he sees Zacchaeus. Jesus, the one who is fully man and fully God, who is the all-knowing God, knows Zacchaeus is in the tree. God looks up into Zacchaeus' eyes and says, "Zacchaeus, come down." It's interesting. This whole encounter, albeit, yes, Zacchaeus is being drawn in to the kingdom of God. Yes, he's seeing it. This is something that is to be observed. But at this moment, God, in the person of Jesus, is the initiator. He's the inviter. Have you ever sort of found yourself at a dinner party and you weren't sure if you were actually invited? Awkward. It kind of, hang on, I don't actually belong here. And we need to really understand something here. God in coming in the person of Jesus, declaring the presence of the kingdom of God, is inviting us to eat with him. God is inviting us, as it were, to a party. He's the one throwing the party, and he is the one inviting us to come. "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to come to you. I must stay at your house. I must." That is God's heart. Think of everything that is reflected in eating a meal together. Everything that represents. The nourishment, the laughing together, the sharing life together, the understanding, the welcome. That's who God is. I must stay at your house. It's an amazing insight into the heart of God. It's an amazing insight into the nature of the kingdom of God. Because at the heart of the message of the kingdom is God's desire to fellowship with his people. Remember how we talked about the kingdom of God, the declaration of the coming of the kingdom of God is actually a declaration of war. It's a conflict where Jesus, eternal God, Lord of lords, King of kings, comes to destroy the works of the devil, to take back that which has been stolen. I wasn't ever able to come to your place for a meal because I was in jail and I couldn't get out. And Jesus has come here. I must come to you and stay at your house. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to enjoy you. I want you to know me and enjoy me. And notice here how Zacchaeus responds. He welcomed Jesus gladly as a guest in his home. They shared a meal together. Yes, the kingdom of God has come. But it comes as an invitation. As something we can either receive or reject. It's interesting the contrast here between what Jesus is doing with Zacchaeus and how the crowd, the people in the crowd, what they were doing with Zacchaeus. They are condemning Jesus because he is actually going to this man's house, this man who is a sinner, this man who is not worthy in their eyes of God, this man who should be on the outer. God would never have anything to do with him. But here it is. Jesus must spend time with Zacchaeus. And the opportunity for Zacchaeus is to either welcome Jesus to his home or to do what the others did, say, no way, no way. In Luke 18, in the previous chapter, people were bringing babies to Jesus. The disciples' reaction was interesting. They were, you know, this is serious men's business. And the disciples were pushing the women with their children away. And you need to think about the social structure of the day. They were, no, this is God business. This is serious business. This is men's business. Jesus' reaction is rather delightful. Luke 18, verse 16. He said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. The point of the analogy that Jesus is using, that is, you know, you've got to be like these little kids, is how the children willingly embraced Jesus, willingly wanted to be with Jesus. And that's the point Jesus is making. Unless we, in our complex adulthood, unless we, with all our thinking, unless we are willing at the core of our being to simply, I want to be with you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Life, we will miss out on so much of the kingdom of God. On an earlier occasion, Jesus told a story of a man who prepared a great banquet. It's an interesting story and it's relevant for us because it's in response to a question in Luke 14, 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. This Jew drawing on all this ancient prophecy concerning the coming age of the blessing of God. You know, and Jesus then tells this story implying, well, who is it who will eat in the feast of the kingdom. So this man invites many guests. And people started, as they received the invitation, making excuses. They couldn't come for this reason, that reason, this reason. Didn't matter what you said, the implication was these people would come up with an excuse. A few years ago, a friend introduced us to a word. It's a made-up word, and it was Stabo. S-T-A-B-O. Stabo. S-T-A-B-O. You won't find it in the dictionary, so don't go looking for it. And it means S, subject, T, to, A, B, better, offer. Subject to a better offer. Hey, come to my place. No one says it. Yes, sure. But in the back of their mind, have I got a better offer? Because if I get a better offer, I'm not going to your place, I'll go somewhere else. I need to say to you, my place is the best offer you're ever going to get. But that's another story. You were supposed to laugh then. It's okay. That was a bit awkward. But it's this notion of, you know, the invitation is giving, oh, yeah, maybe I'll come, but subject to a better offer. And kids are like that. And the person who introduced it to me was talking about a significant birthday that was being arranged for their son. And they were quite amazed by how their son's friends just didn't turn up because there was another party going on somewhere else and they decided to go to that party. And that's the point of Jesus' story about those who will eat in the kingdom of God and how this man puts on this big party and invites everybody and says, come, come, come. And they say, no, I've got a better offer. I've got a better offer. And so the man in the story, he says to his servants, well, look, go out. Go out into the streets, invite others, the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, people like Zacchaeus, people like you and me. My house will be full. My house will be full. That's the declaration of the heart of God. My heart will be full. The kingdom of God has come, but the eternal God is not going to force you to come to the party. He will not force anyone. But of course, we see here in Zacchaeus, he accepts the invitation of Jesus. And notice the impact that has in Zacchaeus' life. Luke 19, verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It's interesting, we only have a summary of what took place in this encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus. But Luke records for us how Zacchaeus stands up and says, look, Lord, I will give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. It's this incredible window into the transformation of this man. I mean, let's be clear here. Zacchaeus was a criminal. Zacchaeus was a man who was preoccupied with wealth, and he was working for the ruling empire that had invaded his homeland. And he was collecting taxes, one for Caesar, one for me, two for Caesar, one and a half for me. That was how this guy operated. That's what he was about. He was a criminal and everybody knew it. This guy's scum. He was hated, despised. And here in his encounter with Jesus, here in his embracing of Jesus, embracing of the kingdom of God, there is a transformation in his life, an inner transformation that seeps out into his behavior. It's interesting, and I was sharing briefly yesterday how I've been reflecting a lot lately in the scriptures and how it talks about our hearts. And on one occasion, Jesus quotes from Isaiah, as Isaiah speaks to the people in his day, and he applies it to the people. Jesus applies it to the people in his day, the religious leaders, and says, their hearts are far from me. And Jesus constantly said, these people serve me with their lips, with their outside, but their hearts are far from me. And he talks about how evil comes out of our hearts. What's in our hearts comes out of us. Well, Jesus is sitting there and he's watching and hearing what Zacchaeus is saying. Out of his heart comes the reality that the kingdom of God has impacted this man's life. And that's the first thing we need to think about. If we have embraced the message, the good news of the kingdom, we need to recognize that Jesus came not only to deliver us out of the kingdom of darkness, but to set us free from the influence and control and character formation of that kingdom. Jesus came to transform our lives from the inside out. And that's what's going on here with Zacchaeus. A transformation that seeps out into his behavior. And it's really interesting, and Jesus speaks there in verse 9, says, today salvation has come to this house. Salvation is so much bound up in the ancient Jewish prophecies that the salvation of God is coming. This word salvation is this big word that encapsulates, and you see it playing out in the gospel. It touches on the reality of the forgiveness of sins, of what it is to be restored and made new, what it is to be delivered from darkness. This is the rescue of the people of God. This is the transformation. Salvation. He speaks of a son of Abraham, identifies him as son of Abraham. And for the Jews hearing, remember these were the Jews saying, hang on, this is wrong. This is wrong. This man, according to our cultural context, our religious understanding, this man is a sinner. He's an outsider. But Jesus says, no, for this son of Abraham, why not? And see, for the Jews, the blessing of God was an inheritance to be received by Abraham's descendants. Always think in those terms. But as you think about it, always remember that the sons of Abraham are those who have believed in Jesus. According to the declaration of Jesus and the teaching of the New Testament, the sons of Abraham a part of a family not identified by blood, but by faith. The DNA that runs in our bodies that causes us to declare we are the family of God is faith. That's the DNA we hold in common, not our ethnicity. We have not blessed... is there anyone with a Jewish heritage? Here? No. As diverse as we are, we're not that diverse. We haven't missed out because we don't have the right blood heritage. We are the sons of Abraham. Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham. And Jesus speaks of the fact that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Here it is, that Jesus sets lost people free. That's the heart of the kingdom of God message. You might recall how we saw on a previous occasion, Jesus uses terms like inherit eternal life, enter the kingdom of God, be saved almost interchangeably. He's describing the same reality, the same thing. And so here we see that Zacchaeus entered into the kingdom of God, the promise, the blessing promised to the sons of Abraham, the reality of being saved. I love the way Jesus captures this idea of this celebration, of this welcome feast in a series of parables he told that is recorded in Luke 15. He tells a story of a farmer, a shepherd, who has 100 sheep and he loses one of them. And so he goes and looks for that sheep. And in Luke 15, verse 6, he finds the sheep, he brings the sheep back, then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons. He tells a story about a woman who has 10 silver coins and loses one, and she turns the house upside down and looks for it and she finds it. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." And then he tells the story of a lost son who walks out of his father's house, who dishonors his father as he takes his share of the family wealth, and he walks away, squanders it all. And the son comes home to his father eventually. "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me a hired servant." And then listen to what the father does. The father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found." So they began to celebrate. The kingdom of God is like one big party. You know how people speculate over what heaven is like? Can I answer the question for you? I can tell you exactly what is going on in heaven. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. They're having a big party. That's what's going on in heaven. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, this whole picture of welcoming the welcoming God, the God who has come and he's declared the kingdom of God has come and he's inviting us into this celebration of his goodness to sit down with him, to enjoy him. Indeed, we have once again be reminded, yes, God has broken into this world. This world impacted by sin to rescue broken people, to save them. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus, on the night on which he was betrayed, as he went to the cross, he once again ate a meal. On this occasion, he ate a meal with his disciples. It was the Passover, the Jewish traditional Passover meal that they shared together, which is a celebration of the triumph of God, of the deliverance of God. And Jesus is taking all that is pictured in that ancient meal, and he's taking it to himself. That was a picture of what I am fulfilling. In the same way that you sacrificed a lamb and you took its blood and you covered over your house, your doorposts with that lamb's blood, so too are my people covered over by my blood. And in that act, you have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. And it's really interesting, as Jesus was sharing that meal with his disciples, as Luke records it in Luke 22, he says some interesting things. Verse 15, "For I tell you, I will not eat it, this meal, again, until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Verse 17, "After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.'" And here is the incredible mystery that concerning the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come in the person of Jesus, has broken into our world. And yet, it waits its fulfillment. That which we have experienced in our relationship with Jesus is a mere hint, a mere aroma, a mere foretaste of that which is to come. Now we see dimly. Then we will see face to face. Yes, the kingdom of God has come. Yes, the kingdom of God is at work in our lives and breaking into this world. But what we have tasted is nothing compared to the feast that awaits those who belong to Jesus. And so Jesus invites us to eat this meal, this simple meal, this meal of remembrance, where we take a portion of bread and remind ourselves, as Jesus said, this is a symbol. This is a symbol of my body, which was broken for you. And this cup, this is a cup of the my blood, which has been shed for you, through which there is forgiveness of sin. Because through Jesus' death and resurrection through his death on the cross and resurrection, Jesus has declared, "It is finished. The rule of evil has finished." And we who know Jesus can celebrate with him. Paul, when he writes to the Corinthian church concerning how they should celebrate what we know as this feast, this communion, this Lord's table, he warns people about eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. He's not suggesting that, oh, maybe you're not a good enough Christian, because that's a crazy concept. I mean, none of us are good Christians. None of us are good enough. The whole point of remembering the death of Jesus is because we are not good enough. Jesus died to give us life. So drinking it in an unworthy manner is not about, oh, no, I'm not a good enough Christian. Sure, people struggle. Sometimes we go really strong and sometimes we're struggling. And that's true of some of you here today. But this is an opportunity to stop and remind yourself, yes, but Jesus has died for me and I cling to you, Jesus. My heart is resolute. I am fixed on you and I believed in you. And yes, I am enjoying, I'm entering, I'm yearning, I'm hungering for all the blessing of the kingdom of God. To drink this cup and this to eat this bread in an unworthy manner is to eat it and say to yourself, oh yeah, but this, if I do this little religious ritual, I will get close to God. Or and the warning of Scripture is, hang on, this is an act of remembrance for those who have repented and believed in Jesus. And if this morning you're here and you're thinking about the kingdom of God and you're thinking about what we've been talking about in these days, and you're saying, yes, this is great. I can see this makes perfect sense. My invitation to you is the very same invitation that Jesus extends. The invitation that was extended to Zacchaeus. Yes, the kingdom of God has come, but will you receive it? Will you take it into your life? And this morning, as we serve communion, you might well like to say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I choose to believe in Jesus today. Yes, I will eat and drink as an act of remembrance. But if you don't, that's your choice, and we respect your choice, and you acknowledge we're all on a journey. So if you don't, then I urge you to simply pass the juice and the bread by and just to quietly pray and wait. But now, and if those who are going to help me serve, if you could come forward, please, and let me lead us in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the way the kingdom of God has broken into this world in the person of Jesus. And we this morning would worship you, our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for healing and life. Thank you for hope. And this morning we delight in the fact that you, Lord Jesus Christ, willingly went to the cross for us, that you might declare once and for all, it is finished. Sin and death has been defeated. The kingdom of God has triumphed over the kingdom of evil. And Lord, we eat and celebrate all that is ours in Christ Jesus, both now and in that day when the kingdom of God will reach its fulfillment when Jesus comes again. Lord, by your Spirit, just speak into our hearts, open our eyes, that we would see Jesus. Amen.